If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hey, welcome back to Cryptids One Podcast. I'm the Great Battle Mystery.
And I am J Clone 8.
Today we're going to talk about Jay's favorite cryptid.
The Kappa?
No, your favorite cryptid.
It's not the Kappa?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well, before we get into that, why don't we tell everyone about the Arkansas Cryptid Fest coming up?
Yeah, Arkansas Cryptid Fest. I'm going to put this on Jay. Remember to put the link for the tickets below for VIP tickets.
Okay. Remember, noted. It's put in a bank, in the vault.
So, yeah.
Never forget.
Never forget, never surrender.
That's right. Corey Hart style, never surrender.
Yeah, so that's the June 6th, right? That first weekend in June.
Sorry, I was taking a sip of my coffee.
At Old Bart's.
Old Bart's, Arkansas.
North Little Rock. It's going to be a lot of fun. Drunken Cryptids putting it on. Come out,
Matthew
see us.
Matthew Orton of Drunken Cryptids.
It's going to be great. Then we have our live show the weekend after with Believing the Bizarre podcast here in Ada.
In Ada, yeah, that's
tickets
right.
Should be on sale when this episode comes out.
Yeah, but you were correct about the Saturday, June 6th for the Arkansas Cryptid Fest. Good. I just wanted to make sure I was right. And yep, and then like you said, our live show, what are we calling that now? Are we calling it
the Bizarre Cornfield?
The Bizarre Cornfield. So it's us and Believing in the Bizarre in our hometown here. Tickets are on sale. Yes, you'll find those in the link in the description below for ticket sales. We'll be doing a live show with those guys here in our hometown. Looking forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun. Come see us. Come meet us. Yeah, if you haven't seen us live yet, that's a good place to do it in our hometown.
We like doing lives. It's a lot of fun.
Especially here, because we can show you the sites where everything's happened, where all the good stories took place, at least in our hometown.
And we don't have anything till Hocking Hills, which we don't have any information about Hocking Hills yet, besides where we're going. Did I forget something?
Hocking Hills, and then the Indiana Bigfoot.
But I was going in order.
Oh, sorry.
No, but you're right.
I couldn't remember if Hocking Hills before is or August.
After. And then the Indiana Bigfoot Festival, where Speaker's at.
Is that September, right?
Yes, it should be the last weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's my birthday weekend.
Yeah, the last weekend in September. So tickets go on sale February 14th for that. So
soon.
Next week.
Very soon. So stay tuned or, I don't know, just
Once the tickets are out, we'll start putting tickets links in. But I believe they don't go on sale till the 14th.
Correct.
But we're speakers of that one as well, and it's great festival. We're excited. And then the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree is the weekend after.
Yep, the weekend after. First Saturday of October, the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 3.
Jamboree 3.
Yeah, are you guys excited? We're excited. Got to have live music, activities, calling contests.
All the we have a petting zoo.
Yeah, we just confirmed a petting zoo.
Which is our first sponsor of the year.
That's right.
They got on. Critters and Coops.
Yep, Critters and Coops.
They were speakers last year. It's Connor and Alex are great people.
Mm-hmm.
They were speakers last year. Alex did the Living UFO book. She was the editor. But yeah, and they're going to... We're not sure what we're doing with speakers kind of stuff yet, but we wanted to make sure we confirm them because they do a petting zoo and a heritage farm and everything like that.
They're our local zoologists.
Yeah, they are both zoologists. They're great people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get Connor to bring up an elephant. I think that'd be cool.
It may happen, so stay tuned.
Yeah, it's still one from work. He works with elephants, but...
It would never happen, but how awesome would that be?
That'd be a big horse trailer.
Or rent it for the day. Well, what if they just rent the baby?
I kind of want a big one. If we're going to... Because Bigfoot could be on the back of the elephant.
Yeah, but think about petting the baby.
Yeah.
Up close and personal, petting a baby elephant.
Only
at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 3.
I think that's it. I think we're ending the year with ours this year.
I think so, yeah. I think it's a good one to end it on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all the events we have planned right as of now in this
moment.
We're
working on more live shows.
Correct. So stay tuned for all that, but we want to push those big shows out there. The big three, the Hocking Hills Bigfoot, the Indiana Bigfoot Festival, and the Arkansas Cryptid Fest.
If anybody wants to be a sponsor for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, please send us an email. We're not going to be selling very many tickets this year. Like we're definitely lowering the price and trying to figure that out. So sponsorships are going to be how stuff gets paid for.
Yep.
So if you want to sponsor or you have an idea or like even skills or things you want to donate. So like Critters and Coops is donating the petting zoo. That's their sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
We did that with a couple of people last year, which we were reaching out to this year again. So if you want to be a part of the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, anything you have like that, let us know.
Right. And if you want to pay the funds to get Jeb up to get his own booth here at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 3, just email us. Let us know.
Somebody go pick him up.
We'll start a fundraiser.
Yep. Anybody coming from Kansas City, Missouri?
I don't know.
But yeah, so did you figure out what the cryptid is yet?
Oh, was there a hint?
No.
Oh.
It's your favorite cryptid.
Oh, yeah, that's the hint. My favorite cryptid. And it's not a kappa.
No.
Well, shoot, I don't know.
Blemmies.
We're doing blemmies?
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking about blemmies the other day.
I know. You never shut up about them.
I love blemmies. Blemmies are real. They were real. I think they still are out there.
We're going to talk about that.
Let's do it.
A blemmy, or the blemmies, I'll try to pronounce it. You want me to try to pronounce it for ancient Greek for you?
No, sure.
Blemmias.
There you go.
In Latin is blemmy, but not spelled like blemmies.
Yeah, it's blemmy spelled weird to begin with.
Yeah. I don't think, besides the extra E at the end, it's not spelled that weird.
No, it's not, but the extra E is what makes it all look weird.
Yes.
It's like
blem-y-yes.
It's like blemmies.
They were an Eastern desert people who appeared in written sources from the 17th century BC until the 8th century AD.
Okay.
So, you know, almost 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
By the late 4th century, though, they had occupied Lower Nubia and then established a kingdom from interceptions in the temple of Isis in Philia. The considerable amount is known about the structures of the Blemmy state.
Mm.
Did you know all this before?
Considerable. I knew there were supposed to be like a lost tribe of them in Africa.
Yeah.
That's so about the extent
they were occupying Lower Nubia. Nubia. I can't ever say it right.
I think it's Nubia. I think that's it.
It's where Nubian goats are from. So Nubia. Lower Nubia. But yeah, they found ideas and descriptions of them from the Isis temple. The Blemmies are usually identified as one of the components of the archaeological X group culture that flourished in late antiquity. Their identifications with the Baha people, who inhabited the same region since the Middle Ages, is generally accepted.
Mm.
So there was a group of humans that supposedly occupied the same land that the Blemmies did.
Co-inhabited.
Mm-hmm. Any questions so far?
No, this is all, I know this is all factual.
We're done with Wikipedia because I couldn't find anybody that took it extremely seriously.
Oh, this is off Wiki?
Mm-hmm.
CIA website?
Mm-hmm. Well, they have Blemmies working there, so this is written by Blemmies for Blemmies.
Maybe. No, they keep, they do have them working there, but involuntarily. They're indentured servants.
I think they run the CIA.
I don't know. I think they use the Blemmies and control them.
Mm. Origin. So around 1000 BC, a group of people referred by archaeologists as Group C migrated to Lower Nubia. This is between present-day Aswan and Wanda, a settlement in the Upper Nubia. So yeah, there was a group of people that we don't know a lot about. They were just called, archaeologists call them groups, or C group, Group C.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we have artifacts and stuff from them. We know they moved into the area, but we don't know much about them past that. Where they developed the kingdom of Nepta from 750 BC. For some time, the kingdom controlled Egypt too. Surprisingly, its 25th dynasty, contemporary with the archaeological remains of another culture group, the Pangrave people. They have been identified with the Maje of written sources. Sites related to them have been found in Khor Abat in Iraq and the heartlands of present-day Bahi, which is in Africa.
Yeah.
Evidence suggested that only a minority of the Pangrave people lived in the Nile Valley, where they existed as small enclave communities among the Egyptians in the C group populations. So yeah, they were all mixing together.
Okay.
Being primarily used as desert scouts, warriors and mine workers, because they were slaves.
Yep. See, they're still using them.
Mm-hmm.
They viewed them
No, the other group, the Pangrave people, were being used as slaves.
Oh, okay.
By the Egyptians and the C group.
Not the
Blemmies. The Blemmies had slaves.
They had slaves?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, no. Don't talk about the Blemmies that way.
No. I don't know why you're being such an apologetist.
I think we gotta describe too what are Blemmies. They're humanoid.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Well, okay. Well,
go ahead.
They're humanoid. Well, I mean, they're like human-like people. We'll
they're
just
headless
say
people.
Yeah, they have they're headless, and their eyes and mouth sits in their chest and shoulder, like where their chest and shoulders are. So they have, that's where their face would be.
Which,
so, like for example, like Hitmonlee, the Pokemon?
Yeah, they look like
the one
that
kicks, not the punching one, the kicking one. I think it's Hitmonlee, right?
Sure.
He looks like a Blemmy. There's that big furry thing from like Looney Tunes, and like I think he was in the Space Jam movie. He's a big furry, like with tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Blemmy. They exist in our pop culture, or just our culture, like media culture with cartoons and all that fun stuff. They exist, so they're giving you hints that they were here. They're real, but little nuggets. They don't want you to know they're real. That's the thing.
After 600 BC. Neptune, the C group's dynasty lost control over Egypt, and they were then rather desolate, or desolated in Lower Nubia. They later were subsequently remains more or less without permanent settlements for four centuries. Yeah, so they lost Egypt at a battle, and then they pretty much were just pushed off to, like, they didn't live anywhere.
No, they were just scattered, basically.
After this, they were considered desert nomads.
They were dust in the wind.
Mm-hmm. They were dry. Also, Lower Nubia during this time was starting to dry up, making the river valley agricultural very, very difficult to farm.
I think that's what that Kansas song's about. It's about Blemmies.
So due to the climate change in this area, which was the river starting to dry up and everything like that, I'm just ignoring you.
I know.
I'm doing this episode for you and you're not taking it seriously.
I am taking it seriously. They're dust in the wind.
Due to the climate change, the level of the Nile had been lowered to a degree in which only can be compared to at the beginning of the first century AD when the water wheel had been developed. Basically, they were slowing the river down so much.
Huh. From their water wheels in there?
Yeah, all the power that they were,
harnessing from the river.
Yeah, that they pretty much dried it up. Until then, the area was only subsequently populated by desert nomads. Politically, it was a sort of no man's land where caravans, unless they were provided with considerable escorts, were almost always attacked by bandits and blimmies.
No, come on, take that out of there. Blimmies would never attack.
Etymology. The etymology first proposed by Joseph Harvey connected the name Blemmius to the modern Baja term Blemai, desert inhabitant nomad, derived from the Blemmi desert.
Mm. I didn't know that.
So that's where the word modern day word Blemmi actually comes from.
The desert.
Is Blemai, which is the Baja people's for desert inhabitant slash nomad.
Oh, okay.
Because that's probably where they were forced to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any questions so far?
What do they eat?
Nothing.
How do they eat?
They don't.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense than two supernatural beings.
In cultural and military prowess, the Blemmis started to grow to such a level in 193. The ruler of Niger asked the Blemmi king of Tibis to help him in a battle against the Roman Empire.
Ooh, the Blemmi King.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting the interesting stuff.
In 250, the Roman Empire, Decius, put in much effort to defeat an invading army of Blemmis.
Wow.
A few years later, in 253, they attacked Upper Egypt, which is Theobid, again, but were quickly defeated. In 265... they are defeated again by the Roman Emperor Firmus, who later in 273 would rebel against the Empire and the Queen with the help of the Blemmis himself that he had conquered.
Now, where is this written? Like, where is this is this historical like fact?
Yeah.
Where?
What do you mean where?
Like,
this is all like all kinds of historical documents.
So they are real.
I never said they weren't real.
I think you have. I'm pretty sure you adamantly said that.
Now, I was leaving out the description of them on purpose.
Oh, okay. Okay. My bad.
Because I was going to do all the history and then tell you where the description came from. Because until this point, they are just people.
Right, they are. They're just people.
They don't look like anything like Blemmis today.
What, before?
During this, all the stuff I was going to read, they are people. They are a group of people.
Yeah.
They are not headless.
What are they?
They're just guys and gals.
Mm. They got like shrunken necks?
No, they're just people.
Like that guy you can't choke?
Yeah, that was a lady, but yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yes. He grabbed me by the neck.
No, not that one, no. Not that, like, no.
You're a liar.
I'm talking about the guy I was on that reality show. His like neck is 4 feet around. I don't know. You just can't. It's impossible to choke.
But yeah.
Hmm.
Gosh.
So what are you? Do you think the
during the reign of Durotan, provided by the Upper Angius to Theobid, was again occupied by the Blemmis, and in 298, Dasyltan made peace with the Blemmi tribes, agreeing that the Romans would move its borders north of Phia, and it would pay two tribes an annual gold stipend for peace treaties.
Mm-hmm.
The Blenny thing, Pomus Mali and Pliny the Elder were really the ones who were credited describing them as headless beings with their face in their chest.
Okay.
Nobody else really mentioned that.
Well, maybe because they already knew, like, these type of people are around. It's a common thing, so it's like, why take note of it that they're different? It's just, this is what they are. Because
the dog-headed men are actually from this era too,
right?
And they wrote that down a lot,
that they were dog-headed.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty different
Every description of them before this, they were a group of people. They did occupy a huge, and then they were pushed out into the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were warrior nomads. We'll talk more about Pliny the Elder and maybe where that came from, but Pliny the Elder is a huge factor in a lot of modern day mythologies, like even Atlantis.
That name is very
synonymous.
It's spoken a lot.
Multiple researchers have proposed that the language of the Blemmis was an ancestor to modern Baja. Nubiologist Garnold M. Bowen and linguist Karl Wojtyniec both attempted to demonstrate that the language had an Austrian or Oscrian bound basically in the ancestors of the Baja language there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. A little more history.
Yeah. The Blaines also occupied a considerable region in modern day Sudan.
Hmm.
What?
I just don't think their heads were in their chest.
There were also several important cities, such as Forest, Kalaba, Belen, and Abia. All were fortified with walls and towers with a mixture of Egyptian, Hellen, Roman, and Nubian elements. Karadash would serve as the capital of the Blemings. The Bleming culture was also influenced by Morerite culture, which is a religion centered around temples.
But okay. Yeah,
the former erected was a huge local architect masterpiece with a solar lion-headed deity named Mabius that was worshipped by the Blemings.
Okay.
The Blemings worshipped a giant lion-headed thing. So
There's
actually drawings of Blemings. And a huge portion of the Bleming population was converted to Christianity.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
A lot of the Blemings turned to Christians. The drawings of the Blemings showed nothing about their heads.
Okay.
So you can actually, and I have a little thing here, when it's some Christians talking to some Blemings, and they're just people.
Hmm. Interesting.
So the actual thing with Blemings and with the head and the chest thing.
Okay.
There's a couple ways it could have gone. One thing is that Pliny maybe mistranslated something.
Meaning?
That when it's, you know, Blemings translates roughly to, let's say, you know, desert-dwelling nomad.
Yeah.
Maybe he mistranslated it to something with the head, you know, with their looks.
Okay.
There's also some things with Pliny exaggerated.
So, okay.
Or change some things. Or would mash a couple things together.
Okay.
Because the Blemings had a very, very big important role in the history of Africa. And that he could have done this stuff. Another one is that it was a nickname of the Blemings. Basically calling them dumb. They had no head.
Okay, I gotcha. I understand.
Was mistranslated later.
As headless.
As headless.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the big thought is right now, where later on the idea of Blemings not having a head came from. Because most of the paintings you see are from like the 14th century on. Well after, almost 1,000 years after the Blemings
were
a people.
Were Roman, had their civilization and all that. Yeah, their structure.
So for about 1,000 years when Blemings had a society of some kind, they were almost always depicted as just people.
Okay.
And then about 1,000 years after that is when you start seeing the headless thing.
The cartoony version stuff.
Yeah. And they start appearing on the edges of maps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, like I said, whether it's a mistranslation or somebody zhuzhed up a story where, you know, the Blemings were in a battle, but it was better, though, if they were headless. They were these monsters.
Makes them more, not human-like. Yeah.
And then there's also the idea that maybe it was a derogatory term for them. Over 1,000 years had become their identity of calling them headless or brainless or dumb. And then, you know, through the telephone game,
it just became that
they were headless.
Yeah.
And their heads were in their chest or whatever.
I mean, I can see that as being like a derogatory thing that just kind of took on a life of its own, especially after the fact, you know, as time goes on.
We're talking, like I said, they were, what did I say? From like 800, I can get it pulled right
back. Well, you said 197.
Well, that's when they 80. Were super active. But I'm talking 7th century BC before Christ to the 8th century AD after death. So almost they were.
It's not after death.
That's what I'm going with. I don't care.
It never was that.
I don't care.
It's like a Latin thing.
But anyways, so like 1,000 years they were active.
Mm-hmm.
But that 200 years after AD is when they were really like in a lot of battles. They were written about. They were constantly in the talked about because the Romans were keeping track of stuff. The Egyptians were keeping like there was all this stuff.
Paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could track them. And even when they were starting being converted in Christianity around the 300 BC mark or AD mark, there was Christians drawing pictures of the Blemmy people.
Okay.
And they were just people.
They weren't the headless. And
no.
Like freakazoids.
No, but they were talked about as being warriors and nomads and desert survivalists and all this stuff. Like I said, that really the depiction of them being headless wasn't until, like, when you start seeing drawings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking up when Pliny was now. I don't have that right in front of me.
Well, I just looked up because I know there's not just blemmies, but there's other depictions of other types of humans throughout this time. So, and I was going to bring them up. So I found like a picture that shows, or an old engraving from the 1500s that talked about, or that shows the different types of humans. And starting with the monopod or the sciopod, I think we talked about them on season 1 or 2.
Wheel of human feet.
Well, no, it's just one Bigfoot.
Oh, no, okay. I'm thinking, there's another one that's like a wheel of feet.
Yeah, yep. I don't have that one listed, but I know what you're talking about. But the monopod, yeah, the sciopod was another, I guess, kind of race of people that I think even supposedly Christopher Columbus talked about him in his writings, predicting them to be here in this land when he got here.
So Pliny was, real quick. Sorry, I just had it. Now I lost it again. He died 79 AD. So he was during the heart of this stuff, talking about them being headless.
Oh, he died in 79 AD?
So he's right before the battles with all these start talking. Like,
well, yeah, when they were in the height of their... I don't know. That kind of throws a wrench in things a little bit.
But Pliny, I mean, it depends on who you're talking to.
Right.
How they feel about Pliny the Elder.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff he said that may have not made any sense.
But that may not make sense to our current paradigm, which they want us to live in.
And then he was also, I think he liked telling stories too.
Well, who doesn't?
You know? I'm not saying, yeah. I'm just saying, it didn't, like, when there's one guy, it's really pointing out at this. And I couldn't find a lot about the Blemmies. Like I said, I'm using the Wikipedia article, so I could be very wrong on all this. You know, it's that kind of deal. But there's just not a lot on Blemmies besides that you get the modern version of them.
Yeah.
And then you get the historic version of them.
Yeah, but I just wanted to share that there are multiple versions of humans that they talked about back in this time. One being the sciopod, Cyclops being another one. The conjoined twins are just two-headed people. That was a big one too. I think there's stories about like a two-headed tribe in Africa, but of giants, like they're giant two-headed people in Africa. That was another one. And then like you mentioned earlier, the cynocephaly people, the dog-headed people, at this time period were talked about, written about, and are recorded as being just races of people. So are we looking back like at the game of telephone where these races of people have been changed to, I guess, more or less, looking back at them being viewed as freaks, you know, different types of just odd humans that shouldn't be real? Or is that personified where there were just normal people, but they were different, and that's how they put them down in like a different class, like a social class, just because the way you talk about or depict them? Because that's how that's how society works today, I believe. You know, we talk down to people that we think are different or less than to make us feel better, or at least, you know, not just like everybody, like on the whole does that.
No, but yeah.
People in positions of power do that, and they refer to people less than them or as less than them, and they're not. We're all the same. We're all human beings.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's that. I don't know if they really look like that or if it's just two different things. I really don't know.
I think they're real. I think that Blemmies.
But also some of those maps, and we've talked about that before, show exaggerations, and there's a lot of European maps which have Blemmies.
Yeah.
That show, I'm missing my word. Basically, they personify stuff. Like, we talked about that with feathers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On animals. Does not mean that they had feathers.
Just means they fly.
They fly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's representative stuff there, like there's snail shells on crocodiles.
Right.
Because they're armored.
But, you know, on the flip side of that argument, all those old maps also show things like beaked whales and stuff that we didn't really know about modernly until we've finally seen them. And it's like, wait, these things on the old map look just like this.
I wouldn't say just like it.
Exactly the same.
They have hoofs.
Exactly.
And tentacles.
The same. Just like it, globsters.
They do have tusks, but...
Globsters. Is
and
what,
scales.
Scale, yep. And we found them. I got them we got them at the Newport Aquarium.
Whale scales?
Yeah, you got to go like in the back room, you know, you got to pay the extra fee. It's like the Columbus Zoo and the... Well, never mind.
There's only, so I was looking up somewhere, like the Blemmy Kings, there's like 8 or 9 of them that they have recorded.
Oh, the Blemmy Kings.
There's only one that there's any real information on, and it's Fonin, which is a king of the Blemmies. And he was known from letters from lower Nubia to other kingdoms.
Someone should remake the like Game of Thrones style show or whatever. Her story, but use the kingdom of the ancient kingdom of Africa.
Africa has so much history.
I know. I imagine the Blemmy King, and everyone, and this the Blemmy King shows up with his face in his chest, all intimidating and scary and ripped.
He would have been a Christian at that time. He was a Christian.
Christian King. The Christian Blemmy King. Yeah, but
so did you know that Blemmies were Christian?
I didn't know that. But was it the good ones or the scary ones that like conquer and destroy? You know what I mean?
At that time, probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, probably, especially in Africa. Yeah.
No. Christianity started in the Middle East and Africa.
Did it? Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm thinking Christian, like conquistadors, like.
No. That was 1,000 years after.
Well, you know what I mean. That's what I meant by the bad ones.
No, yeah.
Like, that was conquer by force, and you will succumb to this religion, or you'll be in the ground. Like Genghis Khan style. Join us, and you're fine.
Yeah. Because Christianity is,
and
like,
we'll dance on your bodies. Has a lot of its,
like, roots in, like, Ethiopia. Like, I believe the Ethiopian Bible is one of the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, actually, now that I think about it. There's a lot of...
Because, I mean, look at where the Middle East is. Look at where Jerusalem was. I mean, look at where... I mean, they were dealing with Romans.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the show The Chosen. The Roman Empire was the force over top of everybody at the time. And the Jewish committees still ran communities under the guise of the observation of the Roman Empire.
Okay.
And this is where a lot of the problems came from, what Jesus was causing for people. Mm. Because he was stirring stuff up.
Right. Exposing truth.
I agree.
Light to darkness.
Like, but yeah, if you watch that that docudrama, it's pretty good. But that's the thing, that like Christianity was in Africa well before it was in Europe.
Mm.
Well before it was a white people religion.
Mm.
Because that's something I've heard a lot is, you know, Christianity is a white people religion. They force. And no, it was founded by brown and black people.
Yeah. I can see like modern day versions of it. Yeah. Well, being 100% that, like, you know, white people, where people refer to
if you look at where Christianity is still huge.
Oh, yeah.
In Africa. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's
I meant modern versions. You know what I mean? Where I guess things can be perverted.
Not, oh, everything. Like, everything. Yes. It's nature. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of the beast. Anything else to add for Blemmies? Noons.
I just think Blemmies, I do. I think there's something weird with them appearing on a lot of old maps, a lot of old literature. I think there's something odd to it. They're still depicted, like I said, in modern day film and I want to say cartoons, but just animations.
They pop up here and there.
They're still popping up here and there, and I just don't know why, if that's just something in the subconscious that just needs to come out. There's just something odd about these Blemmies and their history, and it's cloudy.
I can find no real credible information on them, just so everybody knows.
So, I mean, and that doesn't mean that they're not real or they...
No, I like to pick on you about them just because...
Right, yeah.
I think they're fake, but...
I think, though, sometimes when information, especially modern, you know, we feel like we have the access of the internet, you know, at our fingertips. So we have all the knowledge in the world just at our thing, just right at the tip of our fingers. Right now, we can have it. So we feel like the internet's all knowing and everything's true that we can find on there. But I think a lot of stuff is suppressed, and we have the illusion that all the information is accessible and at our fingertips, but we don't consider that information that is there.
I should ask Gronk if Blemmies are real.
Gronk, that's funny. It's Gronk, but Gronk is a football
Baby
player.
Gronk, yeah,
yeah. And if you ask him, that is funny. That
I'm going to ask him.
That would be funny.
I messaged him on Facebook.
Someone should do that bit, because that's ask Gronk about all this stuff and see his. I like him. I think he's funny. He's like just a big meathead. But something about it's fun. I like him. He was a tough guy. But yeah, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of information on the internet is...
You want me to read you the...
Can be skewed or convoluted or just to keep your brain and your way of thinking between the goalposts is where they want you. But yes, go on. What does Grok say?
This is Google, the Google AI. No Blemmies as headless monsters with faces in their chest are mythical, but are based on the real North African tribe, ancestors of the Baja people, or Baja people. They exist in ancient times, whose names became associated with the monstrous tales of stories spread and became exaggerated. Likely from travels, misunderstanding warriors with shields, or unfamiliar appearances.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What I think it is, though, I mentioned all those different races of humans before. I think this could be a possibility, is that humans, we have the same brains as we did before. Nothing's really changed, in my opinion. And I think we're just as smart then as we are now. The only difference now is we have access to technology and we're living in it. We're actually alive now to see what's going on modern day. We don't know what truly happened in the past because we weren't there. It's all based off us. Someone else's description and writings and history that they jotted down doesn't mean it can't be changed or manipulated. So I think back in the past, we did have access to genetic manipulation and people were there creating subspecies of human to perform maybe it was to have like a slave class or, you know, like an indentured servitude class, because at that point they weren't fully human. They were just hybrid monstrosities like Blemmies or dog-headed people or even... like the monopod people, the cyopod people, or even Cyclops, who knows? But I think they could have been genetically manipulating people back then, and they were creating races of humans, slave classes, different, just people that were completely different, so you could easily identify them as being, you know, part of that lower class of humans, because they weren't really humans, you know, at the end of the day. So they created all these people, and then, you know, eventually, stuff happens. They break out. They revolt. That's what happens. That's what happens when people are suppressed and pushed into a box for so long. They revolt. So they got out and they formed their own tribes, and these tribes existed on the outskirts of civilization. They were just there, and people would run into them every now and then, and that's where they showed up on maps. That's where they were here and there, and that's why our history wants to suppress them, because they don't want us to know that we had technology in the past, that we could do genetic manipulation.
Anyway,
we're not the most advanced race of human that ever existed. We're always been the same. That's what I think. Blemmies.
I don't think Blemmies are real.
Well, you have the right to be wrong.
So do you, which you are.
I mean, that's for God to decide at the end of the day.
Can't wait to ask him. That'll be like the third question. He's like, no.
Were Blemmies real? And what if he said, what if it was yes?
Like, there was one real one time because a rock fell on this kid's head.
And squished it in. And he lived for like 10 seconds.
And he lived for like a couple of years
because
they kept giving like
couple of years.
Crushed grapes into his hole.
Yeah. I was just his spine compressed into his body. His whole head was just, for about 10 seconds. And then he, you know, unfortunately.
They found his skeleton and it looked like SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob is a Blemmy.
I've been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 8.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
If If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.